Blog Talk Radio.
Is shining out here. I don't know what the temperature is, but it's got to be at least 60, low 60s. But where the sun is shining, it feels real great. And I can't believe it, but there's actually people swimming out here at this time of the year. Isn't that something? Arizona's a great state for the weather, that's for sure. It's a great state overall, just like with many places all over the country. There are problems with the immigration issues and the economy and all kinds of different things, especially when we talk about the educational system. And, well, gosh, we do have our setbacks there. We're rated 49th. But what that says to me is that there are still, when you get past the number five on any kind of scale, five and on, for any school district in this great country of ours to be rated lower than a five is just incredibly ridiculous. We have access to the most abundant resources here, not only of materials, equipment, supplies, bright students, and the most excellent and well-trained teachers in the world. And so I am stumped and just beyond surprise at the amount of, at the statistics that are coming out about students who are angry and even becoming violent. This is not acceptable. Not acceptable at all. We need your comments today, and we're hoping that we can get a few callers in this morning. Some of our board members have promised to come in and talk about their issues, positive strategies, and also their resources about how we can address angry students. Because there's got to be a way to do that, right? This is not something that we should be stumped by in our society. We have been dealing with angry students for a very, very long time. And we need to be aware that as we talk about things that don't make us very, very happy, I have to steal a little bit of the dream of Nazim Rashid, the one who provides our music and the author of Reconnected. His show follows us at 11 a.m. Arizona time. And he says that we need to move more to happy news. There's always the sad news, but we don't hear enough about the happy news. And so that's very, very important, that we focus on the happy news. So what's so happy about students being angry? Not too much. We got to figure out what on earth are they angry about. What are people angry about? That's what I'd like to know. When you look at who's angry today and what the issues really are, it's surprising to me that we even have in our society people who are lost. At a loss of words, many of our teachers, our administrators, are at a loss of words about why we are dealing with so much anger. I want to ask you, what are you angry about? Are you angry at the economic situation? Are you angry about the politics of today? Are you angry about the state of our teachers and their supposed competence level? There must be something that's moving you towards feeling a sense of anger, maybe call it frustration. I'm Professor Applewhite, Danita Applewhite, and I was born and partially raised in New York. Many of you are not aware of that, but that is my actual birthplace. And I have seen many things happening in the Bronx to Brooklyn area of New York. And in addition to that, I was raised in California, in Watts, California, which is a small community housed within Compton, California. And I grew up with a lot of the celebrities that you may be aware of, like Judge Joe and Joyner, Jackie Joyner, and so many others that have made it out of the so-called ghetto mentality. Because you can step out of the ghetto, physically out of the geographic location, but still have maintain that ghetto mentality and that poverty mentality. But I'm talking about the people that have moved beyond that and recognize that not only as an African-American, a black woman in today's world, that I have much to offer, and so have the people that have moved on out from those projects, that environment. But even if you still stay in geographically or physically stay in that environment, I have news for you. They can still move out emotionally from it. And one of the ways that they can do that is to address the fact that they don't have to be angry anymore. They don't have to be angry anymore. Anger is not something that makes us feel better. It works against us. It's not something that the body or the mind handles very well. As a matter of fact, anger in itself is, I guess as a psychologist, I must talk about the clinical aspect of it first so that you'll understand that it's usually an automatic response. It's an automatic response. It's an emotion, okay? And it's related to our psychological interpretation, okay? And usually based on what we feel has happened to us that's wrong in our life, or that we've been denied something, okay, and we need to retaliate. So most people describe anger as natural, a normal emotion. That's fine. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that being a normal emotion. I guess what I would like to hear more is that it's a normal emotion that can be controlled. And I think that's when we get into the negative aspects of anger, is when it cannot be controlled. The correlation that anger has, the association that anger has to our physical being. It raises our blood pressure. It increases our heart rate. It gives our brain this response that it needs to, it perceives a threat, that it needs to fight or to flight or to fly away, to move away from the situation, to avoid it. So when we talk about anger and we talk about the behaviors associated with anger, yes, we're talking about the physical aspects of it, and we're also talking about the emotional aspect of it. And I guess today's show is more focused on the emotional aspects of anger and what it's doing to our school systems, to teachers, to the students out there. And we have online right now a caller who I believe is so instrumental in pulling together White Apple Institute and has done a wonderful job in being a loyal listener. Good morning, 480-200.
Good morning, Ms. Apple. How are you?
Good morning. It's so good to hear your voice.
Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you. As we begin this new year, as you see, I'm still here in 2012, and here we are in another year still discussing things to help students understand more about their anger, this angry feeling and the violence that comes from it within our hearts and within our minds and our spirit. There's something that's going on that's making the student feel so angry. Now, remember, listeners, when we talk about the student, okay, and Maria, it's so good to have you online because I know if you have something to offer as we're discussing things. Oh, by the way, let me open up the chat line. I haven't done that because we started a little off today because we had some technical difficulties with the time frame, believe it or not. We had they had the show listed at 11 a.m. start off because they had us on California time, or I don't know what it was. But we're straightened out now, but we had a little late start here. So for those of you that want to join us on the chat and type in some response to what's going on, what we're talking about this morning, feel free to do that. I am just so, I'm in one way, I'm very surprised that we have to talk about this subject, but I'm also extremely enthusiastic about what kinds of comments we're not only going to get today about the show, because there's actually four parts of this show. So we're going to carry this on for a little while because we're dealing with so many different issues about anger in this world today. We're focused on students, but remember that, as White Apple Institute, our sponsor, says, students are simply the individual who receives information. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be enrolled in an actual academic course of study, but that you are willing to receive information. And so if that describes who you are, then this show is for you. You are a student. If you are a teacher, this show is for you because a teacher is one who shares knowledge, shares information at whatever level that you're at. So we appreciate you for listening to the show today. So moving right along here, I was defining what anger is, and I was also I was going to recap a little bit on something a teacher had shared with me, and she said she asked her student after she saw a horrible confrontation between two students that seemed to just begin with walking down a hallway and brushing against each other. I can't even describe the kind of violence that she talked about that happened between these two young ladies who were just walking down the hallway in their high school, as a matter of fact, a high school hallway, and brushed up against each other, gave each other some looks, and before you knew it, there was this angry confrontation between the both of them. So the teacher asked her student, "What are you so angry about?" And the response was totally silence and a buildup of frustration between this teacher and her student, struggling to understand why each other what happened? Where's the clue? Why are we clueless here? The teacher wants to know what's going on, why are you angry? And the student's looking at her like, don't you even get it? What are the clues to understanding each other and building a relationship between a student and a teacher? What do we have to do to make that happen? Because I'm very, very concerned about how we are communicating with each other in today's world. And I have to go back to a very, very kind gentleman, and I'll do that in a minute, a kind gentleman, Carl Rogers, who speaks about communications. And I want to make sure that, Maria, if you're on the show towards the end, if you remind me to bring that Carl Rogers communication discussion up, because I'm really concerned about how we can get that that in the show today, so others that are listening to the show will understand what he was trying to say about how we need to communicate. But there are some clues that we're missing about understanding each other and building a relationship, whether we teach online or we do some workforce training, we're in a company or we're in a private or public institution, it doesn't matter. Parents, counselors, community leaders, religious leaders, they must lend an ear. This is the time there's a vibration of anger, and we must minimize fear about the violence that's going on our campuses and in America. And actually, my research is showing that this is not just an American problem. This is not just a USA problem. This is a problem that's going on all over the world now. Students are revolting. They are revolting at a tremendous rate. And I think that one of the issues that we're seeing, and the reason why there's so much revolting, is because students are becoming aware now, okay? They're becoming aware of what's going on in our political systems. They're becoming aware of the fact that revolution is the way to make change happen. That's what revolution means, is change. I have to focus a little bit, I think, on what's going on with the Occupy groups. Now, some of you may have heard about them on television and wondered, what is Occupy? What does that mean? It's a group of students. It's a group of students who have joined together around the world, basically. And they're trying to bring out a non-violent way of giving their voice and challenging our society's obsession with greed. Our society's obsession with greed. And they want to do this by shutting down the corporations. Now, that's a tough one. Shutting down the corporations, is that realistic, is the key. Maybe what we're saying is, I hope that what they're saying with their intelligence, their intellect, is saying, we'd like to change the way that corporations do business. The rejecting of a society that says the rejection of corporations like the Exxons and the Mobils and the McDonald's and the, I can't even begin to name all of the different corporations, major corporations that are a part of the Wall Street monopoly. But one thing for sure is this. We can't deny that America is based on money. We say that it's based on "In God We Trust." Isn't that right, Maria? In God we trust. Okay, it's on our dollar bill. And students are seeing that. And they're wondering, in God we trust, what God? Is God the dollar bill? Is God on? Why is God's name or the concept of God on a dollar bill when all we see is greed and we see problems going on not only in our schools and our colleges, we see it happening in our everyday world with the high rates of unemployment, with people going to bed hungry, with the homeless. Oh, we can go on and on and on. But there's the positive side of that is that when we talk about targeting these corporations, we're talking about targeting what makes America run, the basics of what makes America run is our economic foundation. We fought hard and long for democracy. Yes, and democracy, I would have to say, comes first. And we fought long and hard for democracy and want to be part of creating and recreating a society that's organized to meet our needs, to sustain our needs. The Occupy groups that are going on, and I'm in no way giving a plus or minus to what the great work they're doing to bring our attention to this anger that's happening. Even though it's a nonviolent protest, the anger is still there. And we have to help them in some way, help each other. Not to think that there's this absolute way of just shutting down corporations that exist and do in some way support the so-called American dream. We can't just shut them down totally. And to recreate our democracy doesn't mean that our democracy doesn't exist today, because we do have a democratic government. Is it the government, is it as democratic as we want? No. Are the corporations doing the best job that they can? No. Obviously, they're not. Because if they were, we wouldn't have so many angry students. But back to that example that I was giving you earlier of the two young ladies walking down the hallway and brushing up against each other and becoming so angry and violent, what does that have to do with corporate greed and recreating our democracy? Are the two related? Yes. Yes, they are. And I know that many of the listeners out there will say, well, how on earth can, I mean, you're going from one level to another as far as this anger is concerned. First, you're talking about Occupy groups and college students and democracy and the Wall Street and economy and corporations. And now you're going to talk about two girls and of course, let you know they are in an urban ghetto environment. And how does that play a part in this underlying turmoil that's going on in the world? And I can't even begin on this particular show today to talk about what the Bible has said about the love of the greater number cooling off at this time in humanity. The love of the greater of so many people has died off. Teachers are aware that something is happening in their classrooms that they've never seen before. New teachers who are doing internships are going in and saying, wow, I don't know if I really want to do this. The anger, the violence, the frustration that's associated now with education, even if we're talking about a Sunday school, is something I don't know if I even want to deal with that anymore or at all. The two girls that I was talking about that this teacher shared with me about this situation have to do with their anger about being who they are, their internal picture of themselves. And this internal picture of themselves saying, I don't necessarily like who I am and what I represent, and I don't like my future. I'm not happy about my future, and I'm not happy about my present. So the only way that I can start feeling a sense of relief is if I can release my anger that I feel about my situation, the reflection that I have of my situation. And I wonder to myself, how, this is what I hear students saying, how can I really have a future when not only do I go to school and I hear about all of the injustices of our system, injustices that still continue about racism and gender and sexuality and people being classified in certain ways, religious wars. What is my future going to be like? And so these questions are coming up in the ghetto, the urban schools, as well as they are coming up in the so-called upper-class neighborhoods. I wanted to say middle-class, but they tell me that stop saying middle-class anymore. There is no middle-class. You either fit in the lower class or the higher class. So what is becoming, what is making this angry, that students feel so angry and aggressive? And how do you handle how to prevent and respond to student anger and aggression is so important, not only to the schools, but to our society. There's just troubling statistics out there. And students are not the only ones facing the problem of even this angry confrontation and this physical violence in our schools. About 4 to 5% of teachers in rural schools out in the countries, out where there's not the non-city environments, for those of you who are in other parts of the country listening to this or in other parts of the world, when we say rural in America, we mean that there are no large, tall buildings going on here. And we have teachers that are being physically attacked by students. And these are troubling statistics for many of us. And how do we change that? The fighting in schools have always been there. I mean, I've been in fights in school. I've been in arguments. Have you? Any of our listeners out there? Have you ever been in an argument or a violent or angry confrontation with someone else? I'm sure you have. But going through the literature on this, the research on this, the physical fight of today is not the physical fight of yesterday. And the lingering on of students after the fight, or after the violence, or after the anger, it continues to boil and fester like a pressure cooker. And so you see, when we're just going back to that one single example of the teacher asking her student, as she rushes past another student in the hallway, "What are you so angry about?" She is clueless to the fact that there's a lot of things that the student is angry about. Look at that student. If you know your students, then you know that the possibility of just being angry over someone brushing past you in a hallway is not really what brings on such angry, violent feelings inside. Teachers in an employee in the staff lounge told me that two teachers were in a confrontation with each other that started with simply talking about trying to use the copy machine. One supposedly used the copy machine in front of the other one or whatever. And before you knew it, there was a blow up in the staff lounge that started with a copy machine. Now, we know that these two wonderful, bright teachers were not angry about a copy machine. But there's this underlying vibration that's going on that's causing this anger. You're seeing it even in churches. You're seeing people fighting with each other in places that they call a refuge, a place of peace, a place of love. And they're fighting in there. So the examples, we're missing examples here, my friends. Who are the role models? We've got to get some role models in here to show us that what true nonviolence is all about. Mahatma Gandhi, in his work, truly showed us a nonviolent approach. Martin Luther King Jr., who followed in the footsteps of Gandhi, showed us what nonviolent and anti-anger protests are really all about. We don't act out the anger as if we're going to hurt someone, and certainly not as if we're going to hurt ourselves. We have to step back and take a look at our own reflection and see whether or not we're harboring some of this anger ourselves. If we are, that will help us. That'll give us a little bit of an open window to, I guess, understand the other person's point of view. Because I even have some anger about what's going on today. Of course, I'm doing my best to manage my anger. But there's a lot of things that are making me angry about what's going on in today's world. And it's not just in what we're hearing about the school systems, the students and the teachers, and the religious leaders and the community leaders. It's about what's going on in our world, all around our economic systems, our government systems. Something has to be done to calm down the anger. Have you experienced some anger yourself about what's going on in the world, Maria? Or in your own community?
No, but in my own life.
In your own life, sure. What makes you angry in your own personal life may even be in some way triggered by what's going on in your community. Because the way we feel even about relationships with other people, and why do people do what they do? It's frustrating and makes us angry. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. So we think about, what makes us angry personally? And then what's on the outside of our life that also makes that anger even worse. It could be that we begin in the morning with a great attitude, and we wake up and we want to really share love and peace with other people. And as soon as we begin to start doing that, it may start with a neighbor or phone call even that'll come across and remind us about the world we live in, about the lack of love and peace in the world. And then we have to try really hard, almost immediately, to gather some kind of picture up in our minds that will help us to get through the day without building on an angry seed that may have been planted before our feet even hit the floor, before we move our heads off of the pillow and our feet hit the floor. We need to be concerned about how we can go through our day and keep our anger in check, keep our anger controlled, managed, so that many times when we're examining ourselves throughout the day, like the teacher asked her student, "What are you so angry about?" Maybe what we need to do when we go to the bathroom, when we go to the restroom, at work or at school, teachers and students, community leaders, politicians, religious leaders, look in the mirror and say, "What am I angry about?" There is an anger there, and recognizing that. I mean, if you maintain the position that you're never angry, that you're never angry about anything, then I have to say that maybe you're not involved as much with what's really going on in the world. Now, remember that anger doesn't have to be this external expression of I'm angry and I want to hit somebody. Okay? You know, humans and animals, they usually make loud sounds and stare at each other and they do all these physical movements. But some of us don't do that. Some of us hold the anger inside. As a matter of fact, if you're not already aware, depression is actually the reverse of anger. So I don't have to tell many of you what the statistics are on depression, but they're extremely large as far as how many people are diagnosed with depression and on drugs for depression, including students in the academic arena who are dealing with depression also, and teachers dealing with depression. So if depression is the reverse of anger, we can see that we've got some real heavy issues going on, and we need to be able to look at ourselves in the mirror, okay, and know that something is going on. We're feeling some kind of injustice, even if the injustice is not about ourselves, but about what other people are feeling, what other people are experiencing. And that for those of us that are in the field and are working in social work or in counseling or in teaching, we are involved, especially in the churches. For those of us that really want to do some work out there and touch lives and help other people, we really do feel the experiences of other people. So even if you say, "Oh, well, I'm not really angry, Professor Applewhite, it's not really about me being angry," maybe what we could look at is, are you truly involved with the anger of other people too? The people that you work with in your church, Maria. some of them are very angry. Some of them are prone to even be violent because they're so angry. Violent against themselves, violent against others. And we want to help them before they even get to that point. They may be angry about the state of where religion is today, of where the church is today. They may be angry because not enough people are believing in Jesus Christ. There may be Muslims out there who are angry at other Muslims because they're not believing in Allah. There may be many Jews out there who are upset because there's not enough people actually going to the synagogues. So religion takes a big part in this vibration of anger that's going on. Do you agree?
Yeah.
Can you see what I'm talking about?
Yeah, from other hand, I understand.
I mean, you've got your anger, just like everybody has their anger. I have my anger. Some of my anger is personal. It's about what I want to change in my life. But then when you step outside of your own self, as a student, Maria, because you are a great student, you're always receiving information. You're always receiving knowledge. I mean, we have you continually listed as the student advisory board member because whatever you say and do, whenever you participate on the radio show or you're available to give support to White Apple Institute, it's always so appreciated because your intention is so good. You want to see this work continue. And part of this work is helping people to overcome or manage their anger. I got another one for you to think about. This is for all of our listeners out there. You know, our show focuses on an audience of teachers and students at all levels. But we also, of course, talk about veterans, and we know there's a lot of anger that's going on about veterans out there. Veterans who are homeless, veterans who are unemployed, veterans, oh gosh, it goes on and on. The injustice is there. We're talking about people going to bed hungry. But there's one other population that I want to mention. I mean, there are people that are angry about the disability, the state of disability, the status of disability in the United States. I encourage people to look at the fact that there is a big world out there. And even though your anger may be focused on what's not happening in the United States and in other government systems, I want to encourage you to look at the positive nature of what's happening out there with all of these different groups. Going back even to the occupiers, the students who are raging protests against the corporations that I mentioned earlier, going back to the religious leaders and the community leaders and the teachers and all of the people that are involved, the counselors that are helping people with disabilities and the veterans. Find positive things that are happening out there in our world. There are positive things happening. And maybe when you get down to the real foundation of what we're angry about and start looking at what are other people doing about this anger and this frustration that we're all holding about a certain situation, it will give us hope. It will shed some light. Isn't that what we want to do? Or do we just want to fester in the anger and call it nonviolent because we're not hitting each other, but we're still walking past each other, growling and staring at each other, or not saying hello or responding to a hello or a kind word, a kind gesture? Or how about when we turn on the television news, the media, and we hear about all the violence that's going on with, oh, child abuse and oh, so many things, the killings, the murders, everything, the shootings. Can we find a way around all of that? We can. I believe we can. I believe that there's hope and there's light. There's ways to address this anger, this underlying vibration. Step with me into the world of how we can communicate a little better. Now I'm going to talk about, I've got much to say, and there's, like I said, there's going to be three more shows discussing anger, and we've got anger, and we've got some guests coming up next week that will be on the show that will really bring a different angle to this discussion. But before I move on, I want to give us a real positive account of how we can deal with communicating a little bit better, communicating with ourselves and communicating with others so that we can reduce some of this anger that we're feeling. Carl Rogers, one of my favorite people, spiritual mentors, if you will, was called a humanistic psychologist. In other words, he dealt with psychology from the aspect of looking at a person as a beautiful, wonderful human being with lots to offer. And he believed in the concept of love. Love. Love in the classroom, love in the counseling office. Now, a lot of us don't like to talk about love. We think that it's inappropriate in a professional setting. But I think that, I believe with every part of me, that we are missing this very important part of resolving the anger that exists today. And my friends, loving or being loved increases our growth in so many different areas. It widens our view, the way we look at the world, when we look at it through the eyes of love. And I know I don't like to promote this show as a religious show or a show that promotes any particular religious viewpoint, but I can't resist sharing with you that Jesus Christ was one of the greatest examples of how we can view the world through the eyes of love. When I start talking about love, my friends, to other people, to my students, to my counselors, it's unreal the response that I get. Okay? There's I want to stop for a minute before I get into Carl Rogers, and I want to respond to one of our chat responses out there. Thank you very much, Maple Tree, for your response. You talked about me elaborating a little bit more on depression being the opposite of anger, okay? And this is I can show you this from a physiological standpoint. In other words, our body when we talk about depression. Depression being the opposite of anger. Anger is an outward emotion that's usually expressed by an increased heart rate. Okay, so I'm just going to give you a real down-to-earth example here. If our heart rate is increased by anger, depression actually lowers our heart rate. So you can see that there's an opposite, there's an opposing force there. And so when we are depressed, that's right, depression is truly the opposing force of anger. And next week, as a matter of fact, one of our guests, our board members, will be coming on to discuss more on that. So please stay tuned for more of a discussion on anger and depression. And we have also a series of shows coming up about teachers with mental illness that's coming up in February, and we'll be talking more about depression from that particular perspective. Now, and for more information from that, from our chat guest, I will be glad to elaborate more on that with you outside of the show today. If you'd like to email me through the show, you can email me through the show if you just sign up and register through the show, or you can always contact me through White Apple Institute or any of our other board members at 480-471-8082. It is an interesting topic, and thank you very much. Yes, next week, Saturday, we will be promoting that particular concept of depression and anger. Thanks so much for your response. I hope I've touched on a little bit of information for you to see the opposing force of anger and depression, okay? The humanistic person that I'm going to go into now is Carl Rogers. Carl Rogers, that's C-A-R-L, Rogers. And Rogers came up with the philosophy of unconditional regard. Unconditional regard, unconditional love for students and teachers and counselors, therapists to use within their particular mode or strategy of helping another individual to reach a sense of their full potential. Another humanistic psychologist was Abraham Maslow, M-A-S-L-O-W, who also built on the factor that if you don't take care of, and I mentioned him many times in the show because he's one of my spiritual mentors also. He said, Maslow talks about the fact that we must make sure that the basic needs are met in our lives. The basic needs being food, clothing, shelter, these kinds of things. A sense of safety, okay, which, oh boy, safety, a big issue in our world today, in our schools today, is do you feel safe? Teachers, do you feel safe? Students, do you feel safe? Okay? So there's so much to talk about here. It's just astronomical, the amount of information that I want to share with you. That's why this is in four parts. But at least I'm giving you a tip of the iceberg in letting you see that I really want you, those of you that are listening out there, and I know there are a lot of people because the last time I looked, we were over 19,500 people that have come in and out of the show listening to different segments of student to teacher show. So I know that you're hearing this call that we need to promote an idea. Get on, get in your internet, your contact list, your emails, and send out this message to those that are out there. I know it's January 7th, and we're still, many of us are still coming off the new year. There are many teachers that are still out on vacation. I know at the college that I'm at, we're starting back just starting back into the classroom again on Monday. So I know that there's a lot of people still vacationing out there. So I didn't expect a large amount on the switchboard today, but I do expect that next week and the weeks following that we will have more people sharing, more guests coming on and sharing information as you take the responsibility also to encourage teachers and students to log on to the show either in the chat room or by Skype or by listening to, by calling in to our line at 646-727-3758. Well, let me take this last few minutes because I will be coming back to Carl Rogers in a little bit throughout our series on this issue of teachers discussing angry and violent adult students. And, oh, mind you, when I say adult students, adult basic education starts at 16 years old, okay? So we're talking about 16 years old and above, okay? So we're talking 16 and we're talking 50-plus and we're talking 70-plus. These are people that are in the workforce or in our school environment that we need to address the issues of anger with. We need to listen. That's a really big thing right now that I've got to promote and that Carl Rogers is promoting, is listening. And he talks about communication from the aspect of that he has a lot of knowledge about communication, he says, but the most important thing is the experience of listening, the experience of saying, I want to hear what... And so if I leave you with that this week, is that I want you to be aware of the person that you speak to this week. Take this as our assignment together, that we will make an effort to really listen to what they're saying. And if you hear the anger in their voice about what's going on, not only in their personal life, in their social life, in their world today, ask them, as the teacher asks the student, what are you so angry about? And take a moment to listen to that, to really listen. As Carl Rogers says, take the step in the experience of listening, okay, of feeling that you have for the other person and empathy. We thank Nazim Rashid for his great music this morning, and I wish you much love and peace as we come back next week to finish part two of four on teachers discussing angry and violent adult students. Thank you so much. This is Professor Applewhite signing out. Thanks so much, Maria, for hanging in there, and our chat room guest. God bless you.